In Philippians, if you would turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, I think it was about 2 years ago, right when I was getting ready to start deputation, I preached from Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14. And tonight, I don't want to cover, obviously not the same sermon or anything, but I'm going to preach from Philippians, and we're going to look at Philippians verse 1, verse 12, all the way down through verse 21. And as we look at this section of verses, I want us to, as we begin tonight, to think in our minds throughout the whole course. The whole point of this sermon is for us to look at these verses and look at the life of the Apostle Paul and to think about, what does living a Christ-centered life look like? Or another way to say that, what does living the Christian life, living as a follower of Jesus Christ, what does that really look like? And so we all know that that a Christian, someone who has placed their faith in Christ, someone whose sins have been forgiven, someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, we know that according to the Bible, biblically, that person, they are secure in Christ. That salvation that they have, that relationship with God is eternal and can never be broken. But at the same time, we know that that relationship also, biblically speaking, is going to bear fruit. A Christian is someone who bears fruit in their life and shows forth that they are a follower of Christ. And so what I want us to look at again as we walk through these verses and look at the life of the Apostle Paul, what is it? How is it that we live out this Christian life and continue to grow as we live out this life? And so we're just going to walk through, really, it's just a small portion, obviously, of Philippians, but it's a small portion of the Apostle Paul's life, and see what the Bible, see what God says about living out the life of a Christian and what that really looks like. And the reason that I've chosen really these verses to preach through is because these verses are something that in the past and for the future, I have been praying for my own self that I would grow in these areas and that I would be more like Christ in these areas. And also that I've been praying for us as a church, you know, individually, we as a church, that we would, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we would grow in that lifestyle, that living out of Christ in us. And so this is something that, you know, isn't just vague and ambiguous and opened up the Bible and pointed to Philippians 1 and here we are. But this is something that I have prayed for myself and something that I've prayed for you all. And, you know, honestly, it's something that in a couple of years or months or, you know, whenever we are back again, that I hope that we have all can, you know, that we've been able to pray for one another, that we would all grow like this, that we would all become more like Christ. And so I'm just going to start off here tonight then by reading Philippians 1, verse 12 down through 21, and then open in a word of prayer, and we will look at the life of the Apostle Paul. It says in verse number 12, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the others of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Dear Lord, I thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, just for the church here. God, the church that you have allowed us to be a part of, the church that, God, for many years has been a light to this community that has been a place where we as believers have been able to come and grow and learn more about your word and love you. And Lord, I think of tonight as just another Wednesday night, God, that we are here gathering together for the purpose of worshiping you and for the purpose of learning from your word. And God, I just pray that you would in our hearts, in my heart, in the hearts of every believer, and that you would give us a deeper passion and a deeper love to live for you, that we, like Paul, could say that our life is Christ. And God, that if there are any whose life is not Christ, who do not have that relationship, Father, that they would, as a result of your word and your Holy Spirit working in their life. And so, God, I just pray ultimately that you would be glorified tonight through this time. And I ask this in your Son's name. Amen. So as we look through these verses, as we walk through them here quickly, looking at what it is in the life of the Apostle Paul, how the life of the Apostle Paul as a Christian, how that is lived out, where his focus is, what the goal of his life is. And so, you know, by no means do I want to say that Paul is not an extraordinary example in the Bible, because, you know, Paul, I mean, he wrote like half the New Testament, and there's many other things that can be said about the life of the Apostle Paul. And so no doubt the Apostle Paul was a great man of faith, but the relationship in which the Apostle Paul, the relationship he had with God, is by no means a relationship that you and I are not meant to have. We, like the Apostle Paul, like what we are about to, or what we did just read, we, like him, are to have this deep and abiding and close relationship with God. And so this then is what I hope that as we look at these verses will become more clear. It says in verse number 12, obviously Paul writing to the church at Philippi, a church that he was very crucial in helping to start, going back to Acts 16, a church that he knew that he was there from the beginning, a church that he had been with and loves dearly. And this letter starting off with a greeting and a prayer that he has for them. But then going on down to verse 12, he says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul says, the things which happened unto me, then these things have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. And so the context of all that's gone on in the life of Paul up to this point, going back to the book of Acts, starting from when he goes to Jerusalem and gets arrested, and then is on his way up to Rome after spending about 2 years in Caesarea in jail, really wrongfully, not that he had committed any crime, and then going on up to Rome to see stand before Caesar. And so, yeah, so this is what's been going on in Paul's life. And then he gets to Rome where he's at right now writing this letter. And Paul's been there for at least a year, possibly 2 years. And in Rome, as we'll see in the next verse, he's under, whether it's house arrest or in an actual jail. This has been the life of the Apostle Paul. The last 3 to 4 years in jail, people wanting to kill him. People not really excited that he's alive. People mocking him, ridiculing him, not wanting anything to do with him. And so this is what's been going on in Paul's life. This is the situation. This is where he's been. And he says, "But I want you guys to know something, right, church at Philippi? You know, my church, my fellow believers, my brothers and sisters in Christ." He says, "I want you guys to know something. I want you guys to understand something. And that is that the things which happened unto me have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel." He says, "I want you guys to know, not any problems. What has happened to me, where I am at now, the situations that I have been in, has been for the furtherance of the gospel. The gospel has been furthered because of the situation that I am in." And then in verse number 13, he says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." He says that my bonds in Christ, the reason Paul is in jail, the reason he is where he's been for the last 3 to 4 years, is because of Christ, because he's a follower of Jesus. And he says that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. They're made known. People know why I'm here, he says. People know why I'm in jail, because my bonds are in Christ. And so Paul is, how Paul in verse number 12 is the gospel being preached and proclaimed? Well, it's being proclaimed through Paul himself. He is as he says, making it manifest. People know why he's there. And that word there, palace, really talking about, it can be used for palace, but the word praetorium there talking about the guard, the royal guard, the people, the guard that would have been watching over Paul there in Rome. And so Paul is able to share the gospel. He is able to further the gospel because of his bonds, because of the situation that he was in. And so even just in these first two verses, as we're going to continually take a step back and look at this and just say, okay, so this is what's going on in Paul's life. Paul's in a situation that we would not classify as fun or good. And in this situation, the apostle Paul says, you know what, guys? Not whining, not complaining about his circumstance, but says, hey, I am here, I, as we'll see in a couple of verses, I've been placed here by God, and it's a good thing. The gospel is being furthered. Don't worry about me. The gospel is being furthered. And so the focus of the Apostle Paul, the focus of his life, is that of the gospel being spread. That's what matters to Paul. That's what concerns Paul, that the gospel is being spread, that Christ's name is being glorified. And so he continues on then in verse number 14, and he says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul says, okay, so there's many other brothers, there's many other believers in the Lord who, as a result of the Apostle Paul's imprisonment, as a result of the Apostle Paul's time there in jail, and his still being bold to preach the word and faithfully proclaiming the name of Christ, because of that, these other believers are waxing confident. These other believers are getting bold to speak the word, and they then are going and they are sharing the gospel and they are telling others about Christ. And so again, going back to verse 12, Paul says, hey, the gospel's being furthered. The situation I am in, yeah, it's not a good one, but the situation I'm in, it's okay because the gospel is being furthered. People are hearing about the name of Christ. And so again, Paul, his focus, his concern is on the name of Christ being spread, others hearing about Jesus. And so in verse 14, other Christians are going, and other Christians, because of the example of Paul, are going and spreading the gospel. And this is, again, as a result of the Apostle Paul's testimony and a result of God placing him where he was. And then in verse number 15, Paul says, definitely continuing on with verse 14, he says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Paul says, some of those who are going and preaching the name of Christ, some of those are preaching his name because of envy and strife, contention. Right? So, I mean, it sounds kind of weird, but Paul's like, all right, there's people preaching the name of Christ, but they're doing it because of jealousy. They're doing it because of envy. Their motivation for preaching the name of Christ is definitely not what it should be. But then also he says in verse 15, and some also of goodwill. And so there are some who, you know, are not preaching with wrong motivations, but preaching of goodwill, preaching rightly the name of Christ. And Paul then says in verse number 16, the one preach Christ of contention. So those who are preaching out of envy, those who are preaching out of a quarreling spirit with Paul, a contentious attitude with Paul, those who are preaching this way, he says, are not preaching sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And so really their motivation for preaching at the end of the day is wanting to add affliction to the Apostle Paul, wanting the Apostle Paul to be brought down. And then he says in 17, but the other of love, that knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And so the others, those who are preaching from love, those who are preaching of goodwill, as he says in verse 15, they are preaching the gospel. They are preaching the name of Christ. And they know that Paul, he says, is set there for the defense of the gospel. They know that Paul is set, and that word set in Greek, not that I'm a Greek scholar, but in ancient times was used often of the military, of someone who is set at a post, set to guard, set with a purpose of being there. And Paul says, man, these guys are preaching the name of Christ, and they know that the reason I'm here in jail isn't because, you know, God is, you know, mad at me, God is judging me, God, all of these things. They know that God has placed me here with the purpose of defending the gospel, proclaiming the name of Christ, spreading the gospel. And so, you know, before we continue on then to see verse 18, because I love verse 18, but this is what's going on in Paul's life, right? So we got those 4 years, or 3 to 4 years. Paul's in jail. We have him faithfully and boldly proclaiming the name of Christ, even in the conditions that he's in. And then there's other believers, and they're there, and they're preaching the gospel. Some of them are preaching the gospel because they love Paul, because they love God, because they know, they say, man, Paul is here. He's here not because, you know, he's being judged by God, but he's here with a purpose. God has placed him here with a purpose of spreading the name of Christ. And then there's others, believers, faithful believers, who Paul says, man, they're preaching the gospel. They're still preaching the gospel. They're preaching the name of Christ, but their motivations behind it is out of envy. Their motivations behind them preaching the gospel is not for the glory of Christ, but to hurt Paul, to slide Paul. And Paul says in verse number 18, he says, what then? All right. So what? All right. So all this is going on. So what? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul says, and we'll go back through this verse, but he says at the end there, verse 18, he says, all right, all this is going on, all this is happening, but I am rejoicing. I am thankful. In the core of my being, there is true and real joy, even with this, we have this group over here and this group over here and the problems that are there. Paul says, you know what? It doesn't even really matter because they are preaching Christ. The name of Christ is being preached. And this is what Paul finds joy in. This is what brings him joy. And I think it's hard for me to really think through what would be going on in the mind of the Apostle Paul. But thinking through, if this were true in my life, if there's, you know, there's people who are, and the only reason they're in ministry is pretty much out to get me. The reason they're there is because they're like, man, like this Josh Wormley guy, I just want to burn this guy, you know? And Paul says, you know, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Christ's name is being preached, and I find joy in this. This I will rejoice in, yea, and will rejoice. And so just going back through here real quickly in verse 18, he says, what then, notwithstanding, Paul saying, you know, despite of all of this, despite of all that has happened, he says every way, whether in pretense or in truth, in pretense, meaning whether, you know, whether it's false motivations, whether it's deceitfulness, Paul's like, that's not what matters here. And obviously Paul would, Paul does deal with sinful motivations, and Paul would deal with this in other places. Not that sinful motivations is ever acceptable. But Paul says, hey, the name of Christ, the gospel is being preached. And at the end of the day, this is what matters, that the name of Christ be preached. And in Galatians, Paul had no problem ripping apart the church at Galatia and saying, hey, you know what, anathema on you guys, what you're doing is wrong. You have strayed from the gospel. You are no longer following the gospel. Like, how could you do that in such a short time? And so Paul has no problem calling out churches when it comes to sin. But Paul here is saying, at the end of the day, what matters is the gospel is being progressed, that people are hearing the name of Christ, that the name and the glory and the fame of Jesus is being spread. And then he moves on to verse number 19. after he says in 18, he says, "Yea, I therein do rejoice and will rejoice." And then in verse 19, he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Paul says, and looking at these verses, Paul talking about his salvation here, he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." What Paul is obviously not saying here in talking about his salvation, he's not saying that, you know, his forgiveness of sins is going to come through their praying. The context of the word salvation, which means deliverance or salvation, you know, literally, always comes from what is going on around it. And so Paul here, obviously not talking about spiritual salvation in the sense of the way in which Paul is getting to heaven is through the prayers of the Philippians and the Spirit of Jesus here. But Paul's saying here in verse number 19, he says, "I know that this," everything that has been going on, everything that's going on in the past that has brought Paul up into this point, and not only that, but also Paul is telling the Philippians here that he would be delivered from denying Christ and disgracing the gospel at his trial. You say, okay, where's that in verse 18? Right? Continue on down to verse number 19. He says all that, Jesus Christ, at the end of verse 19, and then he says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." And so verse 19 and 20, right? These verses are obviously, you know, all connected. But Paul here is saying, I know that this shall turn to my salvation. That the situation Paul is in and the future situation of him standing before Caesar, he knows that he is going to be delivered, that he's going to be saved from everything, whether by life, whether by death. That's not the issue. But that he would be delivered from possibly disgracing the name of Christ, possibly denying the name of Christ, like he says down in verse number 20. And so again, the Apostle Paul, in these verses, I know we're just really flying through and looking at his life without really taking much of a breath. We will hear it in a minute. But again, the life of the Apostle Paul, he says, "Now, I don't care if I'm in jail. I don't care if other people hate me and the point of their ministry is just to knock me down. I don't care if all of these issues and problems are going on in my life, because I know I'm going to be delivered from all of this. I know that according to my earnest expectation, my deep longing, my eager expectation, my hope, my confidence, that in nothing I'm going to be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death." Paul says, man, this is what I know. This is what I know because of your prayers, because of the Spirit of God in me, because of, like he says in verse 20, "as always, so now," because of the past, how God has worked in my life up until this point, because of all of this, I know that I am going to not disgrace the name of Christ. I know that I will magnify his name. I know that I will be bold to preach his name and to proclaim his name. Paul says that this is my earnest hope. This is my expectation. I know this. And so again, looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, this is what mattered to him. This is what drove him. This is what his goal in life was. And that is to magnify in his body the name of Christ. To glorify Christ. And it's easy when we talk about this, for me. It's easy for me to, when we throw around or you read like glorify Jesus or glorify God or honor God, it's easy to think in, okay, that's pretty ambiguous, all right? Like, how do I go about glorifying God, all right? I'm supposed to glorify Him. I'm supposed to honor Him. Like, what does that even mean? But to glorify Christ, to do exactly what Paul is saying here in everyday speech like we would use, and I think essentially boils down to, it means that we make Christ look good, look great, like He is. We make Christ, we portray Christ in such a way that He is shown to be who He really is, to be great. And so, as a Christian, the Apostle Paul, his life is focused and dedicated to magnifying, to making the biggest picture, the biggest spotlight on the name of Christ by him and his actions. And so then in verse number 21, it's no surprise when Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul has no thought of life apart from Christ. And so in a nutshell, verse number 21, in a nutshell, Paul, if you were to have Paul up here right now and say, "Paul, what is your life all about? What's the point of your life? Why do you live?" Paul, I mean, he'd probably just quote this verse right here. It was not obviously living for money. It was not obviously living for power, prestige, whatever. Whatever, you know, possible thing you could think of. Big ministry. None of this was the purpose of Paul's life. The purpose of his life was to magnify Christ. That is the whole total reason for Paul's existence. Everything Paul did was to magnify the name of Christ. And so what I want to do here real quick is read a quote that I pulled out from a commentator here on verse 21. And it's a little bit longer than normal. And so I hope you'll bear with me. But everything is just so rich and true. Speaking about this verse, he says, "The instant a person truly believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, he is joined organically in a living and real union with Christ. To be in Christ means that all that is true of Christ is true of the believer," right? To be in Christ, we have all, we have His righteousness, we're clothed in His righteousness, we are now no longer viewed for the sinners that we are, but we are viewed as in the righteousness of Christ. He continues on, it says, as Paul writes, "For the death that he died," he's quoting Romans 6:10, "he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." The believer is in union with Christ. While that is our true standing before God, we must grow in our experience of the reality of that standing, so that in our daily lives, we live in fellowship with Christ, communing with Him, depending on Him for everything. It means growing to know Christ intimately. It means growing to love Christ with all of our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. It means submitting all our thoughts and emotions and words and deeds to the Lordship of Christ so that I seek to please Him, so that we seek to please Him in all areas of life. And so it means growing to experience Christ more and more as our all in all. And then lastly, he says, every aspect of life must be centered around the Lord, Jesus Christ. And so as we look at these verses, I know it was a quick run through, but as we look at these verses, I hope that in your mind, maybe thinking of a lot of things, but I hope that in your mind, you see that we would see how many times Paul talks about the gospel, how many times Paul talks about Christ. And that these two themes, just verse after verse after verse, this is what Paul says, man, this is what life is all about. For me to live is Christ. This is the life of the Christian. For me to live, put your name in there, for Josh Wormley to live is Christ. And as I was thinking about this verse last night, thinking about this verse, praying about these verses, I thought, I can't preach this. It's not me. For me to live is Christ. I can't say honestly that my every thought, that my every intention, that my every desire is Christ. Ultimately wanting to please and glorify Him. Because that wouldn't be true. And for Paul, he's not saying, man, I've achieved. I no longer have any sin problems. And so for me to live is Christ, like I have no problems with sin anymore. Paul is obviously and clearly saying that his life is pointed and directed towards every day, towards living for Christ, towards pleasing Christ, towards honoring and glorifying Christ. And that then, I would say, as we have seen in these verses, is not something that we as Christians can say, that was Paul. Paul was a good guy. He lived for Jesus. You know, good for Paul. But as Christians, we too, like Jesus said in John 15, are to abide in Him, to have this close relationship, to have this just intimate, living relationship with Him. And so I would ask us then this question, and myself these questions. How can I make Christ great in my life? How can I magnify Him in the sphere of the unbelieving world where His name is minimized, where most could care less? How can I glorify Him in the presence of those who are blind to His glory? How can I display His grace to those who have never seen it or known it or don't want to? Some of us may not be able to see how Jesus could be magnified in our lives, in our bodies. We may think, man, I mean, how am I supposed to magnify Christ? Right? This was Paul. He did that like a bazillion years ago. How am I supposed to magnify Christ? I still don't even understand the whole concept of glorifying Christ or magnifying Christ. How am I, as a Christian, whether an older one or a younger one, how am I supposed to magnify Christ in my life? How does it happen? How do I do that? Magnifying the name of Christ, this is something that we daily do. Every day. From when we make up, right? When you wake up, to when you go to bed, to everything in between, whether it's work or taking care of the kids or going out and preaching in some village or throughout the entirety of our lives, whether we work a job or whether we're in retirement or whether we're still going to school or whether whatever category you want to put yourself in, magnifying Christ, living for Christ, as Paul says here, takes place every day, in every action, in every thought, throughout the course of our life, throughout the course of our day. We magnify Christ by making His name look great, by obeying, by honoring, by faithfully living according to His word. And you do this every day. And so, what I would like to do here in just a minute is we're gonna pray, and we're gonna get together with different people and pray. And if that makes you uncomfortable, then good, because church isn't about being comfortable, so that's all right. But before we do that, if all of this that I've just said, and you're listening and you say, man, Josh, that none of that makes sense. Well, hopefully it's not because I'm a horrible expositor and just butchered the entire passage. But maybe, hopefully, it would be because you say, man, I don't understand this whole magnify Christ thing. Because why would you want to do that? Why would you want to live for Jesus? Why would you want your whole life to be about some guy you can't even see? What's the point? And I would say that the reason Paul lived his life for the proclamation of the gospel, and the reason we as Christians are to live our life for the proclamation of the gospel, is because the gospel is all about Jesus. And Jesus is all about reality. He lived. He is real. He's not a figment of our imagination. And He died for us because of our sins, because apart from Christ, there is no relationship with God. There is no eternal security, eternity with God in heaven. And so the gospel is just simply the good news that Christ came, that He died for our sins. And this is what Paul lived to preach and lived to bring honor and glory to Christ in. And so I would say, man, if you don't know Jesus, get to know Him real quick, because He's the purpose of your life. because He loves you, because He wants that relationship with you. And then for us as Christians, what we're gonna pray about here in just a minute is in that verse number 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Can we, like Paul, say, man, my life is about Jesus? Like literally every day I wake up and I think, man, I want to live for Jesus today. Man, I know I have like 50 things on my to-do list, but I want to glorify Him. I want Him to be honored in all of that. I want Him, His name to be proclaimed today through the way I live my life and through me speaking His name. I just want to live for Jesus. That's what I want to do. And it doesn't matter if I live, it doesn't matter if I die, because I just get more of Him. And that's all I want is Christ. And so are we as believers living that way? Am I living that way?